Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. The heroes of faith who are brought before us in Hebrews chapter 11 were far from being perfect. But their names are included here because they had faith. And in the midst of all the grand characters in this interesting chapter, Rahab certainly holds a unique place. She is the only individual of Gentile origin in this list of the great heroes of faith. And her faith is given an honoured place in this truly amazing chapter. Now, in spite of our knowledge of the recorded failures in the lives of people like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, there is a sense in which we're not really surprised by their names being included in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. But we are a little surprised when we read that by faith the harlot Rahab perished not. How can a common harlot out of the land of Canaan be placed into the line of Jesus Christ? Or how can a sinner like Rahab be translated from the house of shame into what someone has called the hall of fame? And the answer is very simple: by grace, and by grace alone. And in the story of Rahab recorded in Joshua chapters 2 and 6, we see a wonderful illustration of God's way of salvation. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25, we read these words: Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. In other words, Rahab was a woman who was saved by grace. As many of you will know, the name Joshua means salvation of Jehovah. Its New Testament counterpart is found in the name that Joseph gave to the virgin-born son of Mary, Jesus: for he shall save his people from their sin. How wonderfully the salvation of Jehovah is set forth in this remarkable story of Rahab. The sinfulness of this woman is epitomized in the three words of our text: the harlot Rahab. Rahab was certainly an immoral woman, but yet God, in his sovereign grace, because it pleased him to do so, saved her by his grace, reminding us of the words found in Romans 5 and verse 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And as we proceed, we will see how Rahab's faith began, how it operated, how it was manifested, and what it accomplished. So that is my theme for today: saved by grace alone through faith. There are three simple things that I wish to share with you from the chapter before us concerning the faith of this woman Rahab. In the first place, I want us to think about the evidence of Rahab's fear of the Lord. Because before her conversion, the fear of God gripped her heart. And that fear ultimately led her to trust in Israel's God and to pass from death unto life. But let me ask the question: why did Joshua send out the spies? I do believe that there are two basic reasons. There was a military reason: go view the land. And then there was a mercy mission: a sinner in that sinful city needed to be saved. And I do believe that was the primary reason, because there was in that city a woman who had been chosen by God in eternity to be associated with his people. And God, who is rich in mercy, saw to it that that individual received the message and all that she needed to hear to bring her to trust in Israel's God. So Joshua sent out the spies for these two reasons. And it's very interesting how The spies were directed to the house of Rahab. And this brings to attention God's gracious design towards Rahab, that he directed these two messengers to her house. And the house was located upon the wall. And that was an ideal place for a harlot to live. So it was a convenient place for her trade. But I do believe at this point of time that she had already been changed by grace, and she was carrying on a legal profession at that particular time. But she lived there on the wall. And of course it would also prove to be an easy escape route for the two spies if they needed to get out of the city in a hurry. But how did the king of Jericho know so much? It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab." How did he know so much? He knew that these two spies had crossed the Jordan, that they were of the children of Israel. He knew the exact time of their arrival tonight. He knew the purpose of their visit to search out the land and where they were. They were in the harlot's house. The king knew everything about these two individuals who were on a mercy mission. And the great King of Heaven knows all things pertaining to his people, those who have been sent out into the world on a mercy mission. The king knew all about their movements. He knew all about their mission. And the great King of Heaven knows all about our movements and our mission. And there's also another lesson for us to learn, that the eyes of the world are ever on the righteous. Now, why did he not have them arrested earlier? The king of Jericho was powerless to harm these two men because they were on the Lord's errand, and nothing could happen to these two men until that was accomplished and fulfilled. And our mission in life is to carry the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And nothing can harm us until that mission has been completed. And so the King of Heaven was watching over his servants who had been sent to spy out the land, and he was preserving them. And the king, though he may have been a powerful man, could not harm God's servants until their mission was accomplished. And then we could ask the question, why did Rahab protect the spies? Why did she receive these two men into her home, knowing what she did? I do believe that she did this because her heart had already been changed. And when you read through this chapter carefully, you will discover that she already had some knowledge of what was going to happen. She realized that her city was condemned already. The city had been under judgment for years, according to what we read in Exodus 23, verses 27 and 28. The sentence of death had been passed upon the land and upon the inhabitants of the land, and that included Jericho and the people of Jericho. Now, the people in Jericho had heard of the Exodus from Egypt, which had taken place 40 years before. So God had given unto Rahab and unto the people of Jericho an opportunity to repent. He had given to them a period of grace. And that's the way God has dealt with every one of us. In those teenage years, those rebellious years when we were wandering from God, when we were trying to find ourselves, whatever that means, God preserved us. And God sent someone across our path bearing the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We didn't like to hear it. We hated to see those people coming. But God is long-suffering and mercy. And God kept sending people across our path. And then the time came that God put us into a corner. And God showed to us the wickedness of our heart and the sinfulness of our sin, our eternal destiny. And then he brought to us the scene of the cross. He brought before us the one who is described as being altogether lovely, dying for our sins. And there one day we saw a cross erected on Calvary's mountain. And there we could hear the cry of the blessed Son of God upon whom our sins were laid. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we were brought by repentance through faith to the cross. We did not fully understand all the details of God's purpose and plan. We didn't understand all about the Bible. We don't need to know all of that to be saved. What we need to know is that we're sinners, that Christ died for sinners, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all we need to know. And when we got to the cross, the burden rolled away. Hallelujah. And we became new creatures in Jesus Christ. Thank God for grace. Thank God for God's patience with us in preserving us and keeping us alive, giving us the capabilities to receive the message and to believe the gospel. He gave us faith, He gave us repentance, He gave us all the things that were needful to bring us into union with Jesus Christ, because salvation is by faith and it's through grace. So it is clear to me that God had given to the inhabitants of Jericho and Rahab in particular ample time to repent. So Rahab is clearly an object of God's sovereign grace. And what a picture she is of God's mercy and grace in Christ. Rahab was a sinner by birth. She was a notorious sinner by choice and by practice. And the only woman in those times and countries who kept public houses or inns were prostitutes. But I do believe that was her former occupation at this time, for the home had been transformed, and I will go on in a moment or two to explain the reasons why I say that. The point is this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Mercy is for the miserable. Grace is for the guilty. Redemption is for the ruined. Righteousness is for the reject. And we have all of these things in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Rahab was a cursed woman in a cursed profession, dwelling in a cursed city, and she came from a cursed race. Yet she obtained mercy. The terror of the Lord had fallen upon the inhabitants of the land, but Rahab only believed. Hers was a faith that was produced by fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. She knew that judgment had been passed upon her city and upon the inhabitants of her land, upon the Canaanite nation. And faith laid hold upon God. She believed, and she was saved by grace. So Rahab had heard the glad tidings of God's salvation. She heard about how God had delivered his people from Egyptian bondage. She had heard the story about the sacrifice of the lamb. And she had heard about the Redeemer's power to deliver, about the great wonder of how God opened up a way through for his people to cross the Red Sea. She believed. And the Word of God tells me that faith is the gift of God. The faith that she had, the faith that she exercised, was God's gift to her. God gave her the ability to believe, to turn from her sinful lifestyle, and to look to him by faith. And in the gospel, we hear that we are condemned. And when we hear that we are condemned, we ought to tremble, just the way the people of the land did. And as Rahab exercised faith, so we too need to exercise faith, because we are saved in exactly the same way as Rahab was saved in the Old Testament, saved by grace alone. So it was no accident that the spies came to Rahab's house that night. When they came to Jericho, they came to Rahab's house because God had purposed it from eternity. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So there is the evidence of Rahab's fear of the Lord in the story. But then there is the expression of Rahab's faith in the Lord. Rahab's faith began where all true faith begins, and hearing God's word. Twice over in verses 10 and 11 we read these words. This is what she said to the spies. Look at verse 10 for example. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Look again at verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And because she heard and believed, she was able then to say, in verse 9, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, because of what she heard and because of what she believed. Then she was able to say, I know. And the Apostle Paul was able to say, I know whom I have believed. I know of a certainty. Do you know of a certainty? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you believed? Remember the time when Naaman the leper came to meet the servant of God. He thought that the servant of God would come out and perform a notable miracle, and that would be a tremendous thing to tell everybody back home. That's what he thought. But God had different plans. And God's plan involved exercising faith. Because God spoke through his servant and told Naaman the leper what he had to do. Go wash in Jordan 7 times. God was speaking to Naaman through the servant of God, through the preacher as it were. It involved faith, exercising faith in that word or in that promise. And at first, Naaman the leper, he protested. And he said, I have far cleaner waters in my own land. I'm not going to go down and wash in dirty old Jordan. And then one of his servants said, listen, if the servant of God had asked you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. Why don't you just do what he asked you to do? It's a simple thing. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and see what happens. And he humbled himself. He exercised faith. Now, when he dipped in the water 6 times and came up again, he was still the same. His body was covered in leprosy. And he may have thought to himself, this is not going to work. But then, when he came up again the 7th time, it was evident for all to see that he had been changed, because he had exercised faith. He had done what the Lord had required of him, and he was changed. Now, many in Jericho heard about the Lord. They'd heard about the Lord's power, and they believed intellectually. There's such a thing as an intellectual faith. You have it up in the head. Well, that'll not save you. Yes, we need to have a certain knowledge about the things of God to exercise faith, but intellectual faith will never save you. Too many people just have it up here. But the Word of God makes it abundantly clear that we believe with the heart, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It's not enough to believe with your head. You've got to believe with your heart. And that's exactly what she did. She trusted in him. Many people heard the news, but it was only Rahab who believed with her heart. And then she came to the spies and she said to them in verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. Having believed, she now pleaded to be included in the great deliverance that God was going to accomplish for his people. It was a great request for her to make. But her faith made her bold. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. This really was her confession of faith to the spies. She was not a secret believer. Nicodemus was a secret believer, but he was brought out into the open. He was a man who came to Jesus by night. We read that on 3 different occasions in the Gospel of John. And then the day came when he identified with the crucified Christ, when he went along with Joseph to bury the body of Christ. And that's a hard thing in this day, to identify with Christ. And at the first, Nicodemus was in the shadows. But gradually, by the power of the cross, he was brought out of the darkness. And he was given grace to stand in the clear day. The man who came to Jesus by night identifies with Christ. God gave us grace to be bold and courageous to take our stand for Christ. She is no longer a secret disciple. She's confessing her faith to these 2 spies. She believed, and now she confesses. We believe with the heart, we confess with the mouth. That's the way it works. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. And thou shalt be saved. That's the promise of God. She believed. But how did she manifest that faith? The Word of God tells me that she received the spies with peace. Faith without works is dead. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. But the point I want to stress is what James brings out. That faith without works is dead. Works prove that that man or that woman has real, genuine faith. Faith will be seen. How will it be evidenced? It will be evidenced through works. here's a woman who's saved by grace, and because she's saved, then she works for the Lord. She gives evidence of that. She hides the spies. Now, I think the greatest and most striking evidence, of course, of Rahab's faith was the scarlet cord that we read of in verse 18, or the token that we read of in verse 12. The token that she believed the word of the spies. That was the scarlet cord she placed in her window. The scarlet cord is very, very significant. And I think that this proves, among other things, that Rahab's lifestyle had been changed and that she was in a new vocation in life. Now, what do I mean by that? Certainly the scarlet cord can be used typically to refer to the atoning blood of Christ shed for sinners, and it's a beautiful symbolism. There's no doubt about that. We'll get back to that in a moment or two. But I'm referring to the literal historical meaning that is associated with the cord of scarlet thread. Now, to understand the meaning more clearly, we need to back up in the story to the flax, or the stalks of flax, which Rahab had laid in order on the roof of her home. Chapter 2, verse 6. Now, gathering flax was a very laborious task. Industrious woman would spend hours each day gathering the stalks to make cloth. And Proverbs 31 describes one of the characteristics of a virtuous woman as one who looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Now, if Rahab had still been practicing her old profession, chances are she would not have been spending time gathering flax, since prostitutes or harlots are not known for the time they spend doing regular work. And it's important to note that Rahab had gathered enough flax to cover these two grown men. So it would have taken a lot of flax. Evidently, she had been in the cloth business for some time. But then, where does the red line fit in? This, even more than the flax, points to a change of profession. You see, when the ancients made dye, they boiled it out of the rocks. And since liquid dye was difficult to transport or to store, they would put a piece of rope into the dye to absorb it. Cloth makers would then buy a piece of the rope to dye their clothes. And while the cloth was boiling in the water, they would drop a piece of the dyed rope into the container, and the colour then would transfer from the rope to the fabric. Now, a very small piece of rope, maybe 6 inches, would dye a large quantity of cloth. And this is a very important point. Rahab had enough rope to hang all the way over the wall so that the men could climb down. Furthermore, it's important to note that the wall may have been as high as 30 feet. For a clothmaker to have that amount of rope is deeply significant. Evidently, Rahab's business was no minor operation. She probably had changed her profession before this, when she realized that the children of Israel were on the march, that they were ordained of God to cross the Jordan over against Jericho, and that her city would fall. The fear of God caused this woman to exercise faith and change her profession. Let's get back to the scarlet cord in relation to the symbol of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation which she desired was by a covenant. She wanted these two spies to enter into a covenant with her, that because she had shown kindness to them, that they one day would show kindness to her. She wanted them to enter into a covenant, and the token of that covenant was the scarlet cord, and it was to be extended to her father and her mother, her brothers and her sisters. And it was to effect deliverance for the whole family. So the token of that covenant was a scarlet line in the window. So likewise, God's salvation by the eternal covenant of grace is effected by a greater token, that of the precious blood of Christ applied by simple faith to our hearts and lives. And while that cord was in the window, Rahab and her family was safe. Just the way the children of Israel had been kept safe on the night of the Passover, they were sheltering under the blood. The death angel had no power upon those residing under the blood. They were protected. And in the same way, when Joshua coming in judgment upon Jericho, Rahab and her family would be safe, sheltering under the scarlet cord that points us to the atoning work of Jesus Christ. This is the only safe refuge for the sinner, under the blood of Jesus Christ. Rahab's house was under the blood. Not only was Rahab an object of God's sovereign grace in Christ, but her house could not fall under the wrath of God because it was under the refuge and protection of what symbolized the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And so when Joshua and the armies advanced, the token was in the window, and Joshua, meaning Savior, said to his soldiers, "Where you see the scarlet cord, do no damage, do no harm. Those inside that home will be safe." Hallelujah. And Rahab didn't wait until the armies were advancing to put the scarlet cord in the window. She put it in right away. The moment the spies depart from her home, she put the scarlet line there, she put the token there. She wanted to be absolutely sure she was safe. My message to you today is, be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. That was the evidence of her faith. And then when Joshua saw the scarlet line in the window, the Bible says, Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. Hallelujah. Now, the scapegoat that we read of in the Old Testament, the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the two goats were taken, one was killed, that's Christ in his death, the blood was shed, the sacrifice was made, the sins of the people were confessed on the head of the other scapegoat and sent away into the wilderness. That's Christ. Christ died for our sins, and then Christ, through his work on the cross, bears away our sins. He's the sin bearer. Now, when that scapegoat was sent away into the wilderness, bearing the guilt of the people of God, it had a piece of scarlet thread tied to one of its horns. Only one piece of furniture in the tabernacle had a covering of scarlet when carried from place to place. It was the table of showbread. The table of showbread speaks to us of Christ, who is the bread of life. So this one house on the wall could not fall because it was protected by grace. It could not fall because it was protected by blood. It could not fall because it was protected by faith. Child of God, we cannot fall because we are protected by grace. We cannot lose our salvation because we are protected by blood. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and there's none able to pluck them out of my hand. God planned it in eternity. Christ the Son volunteered to come to accomplish that great plan of redemption. The Holy Spirit calls the child of God to Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood. Our names in the book of life. We cannot perish because God has given to his people eternal salvation. If I can do nothing to save myself, then there's nothing I can do to unsave myself. I am saved for time and for eternity. Hallelujah. I'm dependent on the blood, not dependent on me or what I can do. I'm not dependent on the fact that I went to a Bible college. I'm dependent on Christ and Christ alone, his blood, his righteousness, his sacrifice, his atoning death. The fact that he became my scapegoat, he died for me and he carried my sins away. I'm dependent on the blood. Hallelujah. I'm under the blood. Glory to God. I'm under the blood. What a Savior we have. In Jesus Christ our Lord. The only hope for sinners. The only way of salvation. There are two New Testament references concerning Rahab. She's in the genealogy line of Christ, Matthew chapter 1. And then of course she's alluded to in Hebrews chapter 11. And then again there's the reference in James chapter 2. And then finally, we have the entrance of Ahab into the family of the Lord. Joshua saved Rahab and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel. Joshua 6 and verse 25. So she was saved by grace alone. That is why God chose to record her name in the New Testament as Rahab the harlot, to demonstrate His grace. Now, she didn't continue being a harlot, but that is to remind us of the life that she had been saved from. That is to magnify the grace of God. The same thing could be said of one of the Lord's disciples. He was described as Simon the Zealot in Mark chapter 3 and verse 10. And zealots were radical Jews, often given to violence and to violent tactics to bring about reform in society, who led a revolt against the Romans. But they've been changed by grace, yet he is described as Simon the Zealot, Rahab the harlot. This is a magnification of the grace of God. This is what God can do. This is what grace can do. Hallelujah. Free grace. Matchless grace. And because she believed in the Lord, her whole life was completely and radically transformed. And by the way, her name means breadth or broad. And she was on the broad road, being a harlot. But through faith she was brought through the straight gate and began to travel on the narrow way. And also her name is mentioned 8 times in the Bible. 8 in the Bible is the number of a new beginning and resurrection. That's exactly what she experienced, a new beginning through grace. She was brought to resurrection ground. So Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. She was saved by grace. For her as a believer, it meant leaving the doomed city, of course. She separated from her people. She had to get out of that place. And she threw her lot in with the people of God. She had to leave that place behind. And that's what we, when we trust in Christ, need to do. Some people never get off to a good start because they prefer the company of the world to the company of the people of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things become new. And so she separates herself from that doomed city. She casts her lot in with the people of God. She turned from idols and everything else and became a new creature. A real work of grace wrought on the heart will always lead to a real change in the life. Rahab's faith brought her into a place of honour. It brought her into a place of high rank and position. And God made her a special channel of blessing. Rahab was brought into a living relationship with God. She became the wife of a man called Salmon, the mother of Boaz, the great grandfather of David. And Jesus Christ was born according to the flesh of the line of David. Rahab's in there. She's part of the ancestral line of Christ. She perished not. And she dwelt in Israel. She dwelt with the people of God. From being a citizen of Jericho to being in the congregation of Jehovah, she became the honored wife of a prince of Judah. She became a favored ancestor to the Savior. We have a picture of the church of Jesus Christ in union with Christ, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the great prince of the house of Judah. And thank God, through grace, the church is brought into union with Jesus Christ. So she was delivered from the awful depths of sin and shame. She was elevated to the heights of honour and dignity by grace alone. And let me say something in closing. Rahab's faith reached out and encompassed her family and her friends and her loved ones. Do you see this? So she's saved by grace, and now she has a burden to see others saved by grace as well. And when Joshua and the armies came, she had all of her family gathered around. She was just like Esther, who had a concern for her people, the Jews, at that time in the Persian Empire when Haman instigated a plan to annihilate them. She was just like Andrew, who went out seeking his brother Peter and brought him to Christ. She was just like Philip, who went out to evangelize as well. She was just like the woman of Sychar. She went and she brought the men of the city out to meet with Jesus. Once she was saved by grace, she wanted others to be saved by grace as well. And furthermore, with this I close. The word was, when the walls of Jericho fall flat right into the ground and the armies advance, you've got to be in the house. If you step out of the house, we're not responsible. If anything happens to anyone in the house, the spy said, we will be accountable. But if anyone steps out of the house, you'll be accountable. You've got to remain in the house in order to be saved. That was the message conveyed to Noah. Get into the ark, stay in the ark. You've got to be in union with Christ. There's only one place of salvation in Jericho. That was the place protected by blood. Our only hope is Christ. And I like the way the Word of God puts it, of what Rahab did for the spies. She hid them. And that reminds me of what Moses' mother did for him. She hid him 3 months. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3, reminds the child of God that our lives are hid with Christ in God. There's only one place of salvation. There's only one place of security. We need to have our life hid with Christ in God. One place. And all those sheltering under the scarlet cord in Rahab's house in the wall were saved. If there's one here today, yet out of Christ, look to Him alone. Christ and Christ alone. We're saved by grace alone. May God bless His word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.